What if the secret to reaching millions wasn't trying to please everyone, but creating for just one person, yourself? David Bowie understood this paradox intimately. Never play to the gallery, he warned, knowing that chasing approval dilutes the very authenticity that makes work compelling. This isn't artistic arrogance, it's creative survival. When we craft something purely to satisfy our own standards, free from the weight of others' expectations, we tap into something raw and real. That authenticity becomes magnetic. Think about your favorite artists, writers, or musicians. What draws you to them isn't their attempt to be universally loved, it's their unmistakable voice, their willingness to risk being themselves. This principle sits at the heart of meaningful creative work. The courage to create for an audience of one unlocks the door to reaching countless others. We live in an era obsessed with metrics, followers, likes, downloads, views. But creativity isn't a performance sport. The most profound breakthroughs happen in quiet, private moments where failure costs nothing. Julia Cameron captured this. Focused on the process, our creative life retains a sense of adventure. Focused on the product, the same creative life can feel foolish or barren. The freelance economy pressures us to monetize everything. Learn piano, record jingles, develop a curiosity, launch a newsletter. This transactional approach strips away creativity's essential joy. We need permission to try things privately, to be terrible at something just for the pleasure of doing it. When podcasters fixate on downloads, they conduct worse conversations. When authors chase bestseller lists, their prose becomes calculated. The irony? Focusing on process rather than outcome produces better work. Haruki Murakami wrote his first novel more interested in finishing it than publication. That freedom from outcome created space for his authentic voice. There is a dangerous myth in creative circles, the idea of making it. It suggests that once you achieve a milestone, the book deal, the viral post, the sold-out show, you can finally relax and coast. Nothing could be more destructive. Those who rest on their laurels become victims of their own achievements, like the journalist who fabricated quotes because his mixture of insecurity and ambition made him desperate to maintain status. Research reveals creativity and happiness are deeply intertwined. A 2014 study found people engaged in creative activities reported significantly higher happiness, describing how creativity allowed them to explore identities, form relationships, cultivate competence, and reflect critically. You don't need to be Picasso. Everyday creativity in journals, sketchbooks, and kitchen experiments provides genuine emotional rewards. Creative expression also improves mental and physical health. Older adults creating visual art experienced reduced distress and normalized vital signs. Writing about trauma produces long-term improvements in mood and immune function. The relationship works both ways. Creativity makes us happier, and happiness increases creativity. When we enter flow, that state where time disappears, the process becomes so intrinsically rewarding that outcomes fade into irrelevance. When creativity isn't your livelihood, you have precious freedom, creating whatever you're genuinely proud to sign your name to. But seeking approval silences our inner voice, burying our fascinating quirks under layers of what we think people want. Failed creative projects typically falter not from poor execution, but from insufficient courage to trust our authentic voice. Our culture drowns us in advice, trading one definition of success for another. Succeeding by someone else's standards can feel like failure if it violates our values. Values aren't abstract concepts. They're determined by what we prioritize and why. When Oprah refused to lower her show to trash TV standards despite competitive pressure, she aligned with her values, making her work more personal and impactful. Signs and opportunities surround us constantly, but we must be present enough to notice them. Artist Mary Delaney began creating intricate paper flower mosaics at 72 after noticing a falling geranium petal. When we slow down and pay attention, we create space for our authentic voice to emerge. true solitude has nearly vanished in our hyper-connected world. We check phones compulsively, fill every silence with noise, yet sustained quiet is essential for creativity. When we turn down external volume, we finally hear our creative voice. This discomfort triggers what Stephen Pressfield calls resistance, that force making us do anything except sit with ourselves. Meditation doesn't require monasteries or crystals. Just 2 or 3 minutes helps. Frequency matters more than duration. Reading provides both solitude and learning. 20 pages plants creative seeds, inspiring your day. Physical notebooks offer what digital tools can't, a platform for imagination, where constraints breed creativity. Nearly every prolific creator carried notebooks: Van Gogh, Picasso, Hemingway, Beethoven. We don't lack ideas, we lack discipline to capture them. Creative habits require energy from proper sleep, nutrition, and exercise. Sleep deprivation causes cognitive decline and anxiety, making creativity nearly impossible. Stanford found basketball players with more sleep improved sprint times by 0.7 seconds and shooting accuracy by 9%. Exercise increases brain mitochondria, improving mental performance. Many creators incorporate daily exercise, recognizing healthy bodies fuel creative minds. Your environment either adds energy or drains it. There's no neutral ground. Marie Kondo's question, does this spark joy, applies beyond possessions to relationships, information consumption, and physical surroundings. Clearing physical clutter creates mental space, as messy surroundings reflect a weakened psychological state. Tolerations are physical items in less than optimal condition we simply endure. Cracked phone screens, stained clothes, dented cars. Though they seem minor, removing them creates positive ripple effects. Trading an old car can unburden you from painful memories. Replacing a deteriorating desk chair dramatically improves comfort and productivity. Nature sparks creativity. Forest walks reduce cortisol levels by 12% and decrease obsessive negative thoughts. Yet technology presents a paradox. The tools that facilitate creativity can also inhibit it. Dopamine released with every notification is addictive, but provides only fleeting satisfaction. To reclaim creative space, turn things off. Leave phones out of the room. Work analog instead of digital. Treat information consumption like food. A perpetual diet of informational junk will leave you feeling terrible. When you take your final breath, what will you leave behind? We underestimate what we can accomplish in a year while overestimating what we can do in a day. Daily creative effort doesn't yield instant results, but it ultimately realizes creative dreams. This lifetime commitment builds what Pamela Slim calls a body of work, everything you create, contribute, affect, and impact. The Japanese concept of ikigai, a reason to get up in the morning, is intimately linked to creativity. When we make art daily, we create purpose. The creative journey involves false starts and detours, but it changes its creator as much as its audience. The habits described here won't create overnight success, but yield joy through cumulative effect. In a world that constantly demands we perform for others and monetize every passion, the most radical act is creating for yourself. By silencing external noise, we finally hear that singular creative voice within. Your authentic expression is the gift only you can give. The world doesn't need another imitation. It needs your unmistakable voice.